Second hour on this Friday, next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt out here at Preds training camp. We are getting close to a new season in Smashville. Preds are on the ice. Max Herz will join us at 10:30 to talk some Preds. Parker Kelly is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. We are going to talk a good amount of hockey this hour, as we are out here at Ford Ice Center Bellevue. But let's stick with the NFL for now. A couple of big games coming up this weekend. We got to see a rematch of the Super Bowl last week, Eagles and Chiefs. That one, kind of a boring game. I mean, it came down to the wire, but Jalen Hurts threw for 101 yards.
It was entertaining from a fantasy perspective for me. Because I have AJ, have Patrick Mahomes, and I have Saquon Barkley.
Yeah, that'll do it.
So I was like, give me an offensive masterclass on both sides.
20-17 was the final, and lots of tush-pushing. And apparently...
And poor officiating.
Apparently, the tush-push may be dying. And we're going to talk the Eagles game here, so this is important. Apparently, the NFL has instructed officials to call the tush-push much more stringently because the guards are jumping on every single play.
Good.
It's a false start. And honestly, they're lining up beyond the line of scrimmage in the first place, basically. But they're jumping. And if the officials start calling that, do the Eagles run the risk of, instead of having 4th-and-1, having to go back to 4th-and-6...
Yeah.
I don't know.
And punting.
I don't know.
When the whole talk came up about we need to ban the tush push, I was against it because I think the Eagles execute it so well because they have the personnel to do that. They have one of the best offensive lines in the league. So it works for them.
Yep.
That said, I watched the same game you did. I watched the penalties that were not called against the Eagles. It should be stringently harped upon.
Yeah.
That you need to execute this the way that you're supposed to execute it. If you're going to play the game, you got to play by the rules. And obviously they're not doing that. So, yeah, you should crack down on penalties on that.
Yeah, I mean, the tush-push, they were able to save it. Jason Kelce going and giving an impassioned speech to the competition committee last year, the owners at the owners' meetings, ended up saving it. But we'll see. Maybe if they start calling those false starts, the tush-push becomes a whole lot less effective. Eagles and Rams coming up this weekend. Playoff rematch from last year. Honestly, one of the better games of the playoffs last season.
It's the only close game the Eagles had that all playoffs.
The Rams, they took the Eagles down to the wire. This will be an interesting one. The Eagles, not the same team as last year. They lost a decent amount up front. I'm interested to see how this game goes because the Rams look like a team that can go win the division again on Sunday.
Yeah.
With those wide receivers and Matthew Stafford making all the right decisions, pressing all the right buttons, the defense is solid, especially up front. This is going to be an interesting game, and I think it might show you, are the Eagles going to cruise to the one seed, or could the Rams or the Packers end up pushing them for that first round bye?
I mean, the Rams wide receivers, I love Puka Nacua. Mainly because he's a known fantasy contributor to the Connor Newt push for a championship. But he reminds me so much, ironically, of the guy he's lined up next to. And that's Davante Adams. He's not the fastest guy. He's not the strongest guy. But he just gets open and scores. And I mean, maybe that's attributed to his blocking and his offensive line, which is a good offensive line for the Rams, by the way. But they're fun to watch. And Kyron Williams, their young running back, is fun to watch. And Matthew Stafford is just the ultimate field general, it feels like. Like, everything falls into place when he's under center.
It's just, it is tough looking at the Rams and seeing that they have found themselves two elite wide receivers in the last 10 years in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the first and second round. And the Titans just keep on wasting first and second round picks on wide receivers. Maybe not as much lately. Treylon Burks would be the only one there.
Yeah,
but like
Corey
Corey Davis. Corey Davis was fine. But
Treylon Burks.
Justin Hunter, Dorial Green-Beckham, Kendall Wright. It's like you pick all these guys in the first round.
Don't disrespect Kendall Wright.
Kendall Wright was fine.
I like Kendall Wright.
I mean, he was Kendall Wright what you drafted him to be?
No.
Same with Kenny Britt. Like, Kenny Britt and Kendall Wright,
I think,
they fall into kind of the same category of, like,
known
they were
leading
fine
receiver.
Players, but, like, they
That's a thousand-yarder right there.
They didn't end up being stars, which is what you draft a guy in the first round to be.
Kenny Britt.
The
former Cleveland Brown.
The Rams just twice in five 5 years? Puka was twice in about 7 years. They draft guys who end up being top five wide receivers in the league with Cooper Kupp and Puka Nacua. So, you know, tough. Maybe Elik Eiermann ends up being
that's
that
all
guy.
Sean McVay right there, though.
Right. I mean, part of it for sure is that you put him in the right system, and Jared Goff and Matthew Stafford, like, Matthew Stafford, when they made that trade, was a better quarterback than Jared Goff. I know why they made the trade, but both of those guys are guys who can run that staff or that McVay system well.
I'd still argue he's a better quarterback than Jared Goff. Jared Goff just fits that Detroit system so well.
And now
he has the pieces around him. Like, Amon-Ra is obviously a top five guy, and
Gibbs and Laporta.
Yeah, and Jameson Williams is coming into his own. Yeah.
So, yeah, no, but that, you're right. The situation that they were put into for Kupp and Nacua also probably helped those. But Rams-Eagles on Sunday, going to be fun. The other game to look at, Monday night, we have gotten some really good primetime games, primetime matchups early in the year. Ravens-Lions, that game could end up being similar. And the Bills-Ravens game on Sunday Night Football Week 1 might have been the game of the year in Week 1.
Yep.
Like, but I'm excited for Ravens-Lions. I think that's a matchup of two dynamic offenses, and you could see a lot of points go on the board in that game.
I mean, Derrick Henry likes to put the stiff arm highlight against two teams, and he's playing the second team this week. So
Bills and the Lions.
Maybe we'll see it.
Yeah, so that's true. I'll never.
As long as he scores more than 2 points in fantasy. Like,
I'll never remember the name. Was it Christmas Eve or right around Christmas, the game the Titans blew out the Lions couple of years ago?
No, Christmas Eve was the Cowboys, right?
No. That was the Josh Dobbs game.
Yeah.
I'm talking about the game when the Titans were actually good, like 2021?
I feel like that was
maybe 20.
Yeah. That was a couple days before Christmas.
Where Derrick Henry stiff-armed one of the Lions' defensive backs into oblivion. That was one of the first.
Was that the same year as the Bills one?
It might have been.
Who was it for the Bills? He's bounced around the league too. He had beef with Odell Beckham for some reason. Josh Norman. Josh Norman was for the Bills.
It was not 2021. So I think it was 2020.
Was it Jeff Okuda? Is that
It was 2020. It wasn't Jeff Okuda.
He was still.
This wasn't like a star. It wasn't like when he got Josh Norman for the Bills. I'll never find who it was. But yes, it was 2020. It was the year the Titans won the division. They were 10-4 after that game, and then they kind of fell apart down the stretch. Lost on Sunday night to the Packers, and then lost to the
Ravens.
That
was the snow game. I remember that.
Right. That Davante Adams.
Yeah.
Three touchdowns in that game.
That was the snow game.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. If you want to text or call, our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Jake Lyman and Connor Newt, we are out here at Preds Training Camp at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. We're going to talk some Preds coming up next. Max Herz is going to join us at 10:30 to give us all the information on what the Preds are looking like through the first couple of days of practice. Tomorrow's college football game of the week is Auburn versus Oklahoma at 2:30 p.m. on 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks Restaurants and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. Coverage is also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. We'll talk some hockey coming up next here on Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game.
Yes.
Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Got some Tate going here.
Oh, I love Tate so much.
We were talking about her.
And
earlier.
Then I realized she sings.
I don't know if you saw this. The Washington Capitals put out a video of these are some celebrities our players won't know. And a lot of them they didn't know. It was kind of like the Rizzler was one of them, all that kind of stuff. But the last one was Tate McRae.
Oh, they
all
know.
Of the players
oh,
go,
they know.
Oh, that's Tate McRae immediately.
Well, she used to date, I think he plays for the Calgary Flames.
Cole Sillinger.
Thank you, Adam Vingan.
Who is she dating? She dating
Kid Leroy.
No, they broke up.
Oh, they broke up.
That's why Diego Pavia wants to take
Diego
her on a
Pavia
date.
That's why is trying to take her on a date.
She's on the market.
Theo Vaughn has at least DM'd her and seen if he can set it up. So.
And he said, if you don't want to go out with him, I'm also available. So
yeah, that's
but he's
true.
Got Diego Pavia's mom to worry about.
Yeah,
so.
Theo's keeping his options open with Tate
McRae. He wanted
McRae
to marry a nurse.
And
here
Diego
you go.
Pavia's mom. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'd love if you would text or call. Our phone line's driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Fordyce.com. Let's talk some hockey. Let's do that hockey.
Yes.
We are out here at Fordyce Center in Bellevue. Preds training camp just underway. We were looking out there at Terry Crisp Rink between segments there, and got to see a little bit of scrimmaging. Saw Roman Josi out there on the ice, which is good to see. This team, heading into the year, we said it earlier, Barry Trotz said he wants to prove the experts wrong 3 years in a row. And 2 years ago, the long point streak got them into the playoffs unexpectedly. Last year, they were all the talk during the summer and then finished with the third worst record in the league. But the good news with this team is that you still have all of those veteran players who are proven commodities at the NHL level. You just need them all to start playing a little bit better this year. And I don't think it's that far of a stretch to see this team start to come into its own if they can get off to a better start than they did last year.
Yeah, you need your veterans to perform. Everyone had a down year last year. Roman Josi,
right.
Philip Forsberg, the guys you brought in, and Stamkos, Marchessault, and Shea, they all had down years. But for me, I need to see some of these young guys take the next step. Like Luke Evangelista, I know he's going through a contract dispute right now, but inevitably he will be back on the ice, I think. Need to see him take a step. You need to see guys like Fedor Svechkov, who kind of was around last year and showed you some flashes, take that step. Zach LaRue, guys like that. And then guys that have been in AHL Milwaukee for a while, like Joakim Kimmel and Reed Schaefer and guys like that. I heard Chase yesterday talking about it. I agree with him. I would love to see Joakim Kimmel beat out, what's his name? Eric Halla.
For right.
a line spot. Like, move Eric Halla down to the fourth line and put Joakim on the third line. I would love to see the youth kind of take over this team. Because, look, Forsberg and Josi and guys like that, we love them. They're great players. They're not going to be here forever. So we need to see the next generation of Predators hockey kind of take over. And that's where youth steps in. And that's where you see some of these guys that you've drafted and that have kind of killed it in AHL Milwaukee take the next step and develop into primetime players here on the big stage.
Yeah, for sure. You'd love to see the youth step up. You do have to have those, to make a Titans comparison, Van Jefferson can kind of be your Eric Halov. Like, you bring him in as a veteran guy who can be the placeholder for some of the young guys to step up, and you'd love to see that happen sooner rather than later. The youth does have to improve. I think the biggest thing for the Preds this year is, for sure, the guys who you are paying to be your stars have to actually be your stars this year.
Yes.
Like, you mentioned it, that the new guys coming in didn't have the years that you were expecting with Stamkos and Marchessault and Shea. But even Philip Forsberg, and I know Roman Josi missed a good amount of time, but that five has to be better, along with Ryan O'Reilly and UC Saros. Like, you just extended UC Saros on an 8-year deal, and
which is in effect now.
Right. It is now in effect, and you are tied to UC Saros for a long time.
Mm-hmm.
He has to be a Vezina level goaltender.
Well, goaltending in general, I think, because you have Eustace Onanen now as your backup, and again, he was one of those younger guy, showed some flashes last year between the pipes, but overall he was, times he was effective, there were times he weren't. And look, he's a backup goaltender, but he's not going to see the ice as much as UC Saros is. But you still, it's like a pitcher, right? You want to see your third guy in the rotation be just as effective as your ace. So,
no, that is true, because Saros isn't going to play every game.
Yeah.
You do need that Onanen to be effective when he is out there, and we saw that at times last year. I think Saros is a huge part, obviously, of this team getting back into the playoff conversation. And he wasn't horrible last year.
No, but he wasn't.
But when
he wasn't, contract you're paying him, he wasn't effective.
When you sign him to that deal, you need him to not just be capable, you need him to be good. And that the same could be said for the skaters with Marchessault and Stamkos and Shea. You bring those guys in. You make the huge splash in free agency to try and go for it after your team made the playoffs back in 2023-24. And obviously it didn't work out last year. But you didn't sign these guys to 1-year contract. They're still around, and you need those guys to step up along with the youth to get this team back into the playoff conversation. And again, we talk about it in hockey as much as we do about baseball. if you get in, you've got a chance. Mm-hmm. And this team has to be in the playoff conversation.
I mean, I would argue that the Stanley Cup playoff is the hardest playoff to win in professional sports.
I agree.
Because it's so unpredictable. Yep. And baseball would probably be number two. But it's one of those where if you're hot, you have a good chance to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
No matter what's where you're seated. So.
Yeah, no, it's baseball and hockey, it's the randomness of it, right?
Yeah.
Like basketball, if a guy is a 45% shooter, over the course of the playoffs, he's probably going to shoot around 45%.
Right.
Football, if a team is good all year, they're probably going to play pretty similar to the way they did all year. Now, teams have bad games. We've seen it before. The Titans in 2021. Like, it doesn't always work out that way. But in hockey and baseball, baseball, it's a round ball and a round bat. There's plenty of luck involved there.
Yeah.
Hockey, we talk about puck luck all the time. It's like you, if the puck hits half an inch to the left or the right, it can change the game in a huge way. So if you get in and you get enough bounces to go your way, you got a chance. And this team, the way it's constructed, they have to be in the playoff conversation. It can't be like last year where at Thanksgiving, basically, you're looking around and
they were out of it, but you know, the old saying is you can't win the Stanley Cup in October, but you can definitely lose it.
Yep.
They were out of it 2 weeks into the season.
Right.
So can't have that again.
I mean, starting 0-5 is not a recipe for success. And it's a long season. You know, you play 82 games for a reason, so it doesn't preclude you from going to the playoffs. But when you start 0-5, it just felt like that was such a punch in the mouth,
it was a kick in the crotch.
This team just didn't get back up and fight as much as they needed to. So I think you need to get off to a good start this year, and it starts with the veterans. They have to be better than they were last year. But I would like to see some of the youth movement. I mean, I know Tanner Molendijk hasn't been out on the ice yet.
Brady Martin.
They said he's day-to-day. Brady Martin. I mean, fifth overall pick. You bring him in over some of maybe the more developmental prospects that were in the draft. See if you can if he could be out there some point this year.
I mean, you could theoretically, I think you could send him out there.
Right.
The first, I'm not exactly sure the number. I'd have to ask Adam during the break. But there's a certain point you can send him out there and then send him right back to college.
Yep. Or juniors.
Or juniors.
Yep.
Which is what I would do.
I agree. I think you at least have to give him a chance, especially with the center depth that you have on this team.
And guess what? If he goes out there and he does nothing, then he's a rookie.
Right. And you don't lose anything by doing that. So I would like to see Brady Martin out there, and we'll keep watching practice in between segments here. Max Hirsch is going to join us coming up next. He's going to give us all of his insights on what he's seen from practice so far. He's been out here the last couple days looking around at what the Preds have been doing. Are you going to the Titans-Colts game this Sunday? Then you should stop by John Bon Jovi's before you head to Nissan Stadium and join 102.5 The Game for the pregame show with Big Joe, Derek Mason, and Chris Sanders from 9:30 to 11:30 a.m. Pregame show is brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment, Old National Bank, Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, and Tennessee Brewworks. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt out at Preds training camp. Parker Kelly back at the Game Nashville studios. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game.
There you go. You're like a sideline reporter.
Next man up, 102.5 The Game. Jake Lyman, Connor Newt live from Preds training camp at the Ford Ice Center, Bellevue. And we are now joined by our good friend Max Hirsch from Preds Radio. Max has been out here at practice the first couple of days of training camp. He's even moving over with the mic so he can watch while he talks to us here.
He's on the clock.
Max,
what
have you seen the first couple of days here as the guys get back out on the ice?
Hi, guys. Thank you for bringing a microphone with a really long cord so I can look away from you guys and stand at the window here and watch the scrimmage. But it's been good. Things feel pretty good with the team right now. Obviously, there are a couple of guys who they wish were out there who really matter to the team at camp who are not. Luke Evangelista, because he hasn't signed a contract yet, and top prospect defenseman Tanner Molendijk, who is day-to-day with an injury. He's been skating separately from the group, and hopefully will be back soon and can make a push to make the team. But the energy's been good. It feels better energy than last year right off the bat, and I think you've seen what you need to see on day one and two.
Max Herz from Preds Radio is with us. Technical difficulties. We're trying to get I'm sure you can hear him faintly from over there, but we're doing our best to get this mic going here. Preds out of training camp again. This is day two. Let's get Max the headset here, and we'll try and figure it out. Again, Max out here at training camp for the Preds over the last 2 days. Hi, Max. Now we can hear you, and all the listeners can hear you.
It's okay. My first answer wasn't very good.
No, we really appreciated it. Adam in Portland letting us know that they can't hear you. Now you can hear Max Herz. Max, the veterans last year that they brought in, obviously disappointing to make all those big splashes and still end up well out of the playoff race. But do you think those guys have been able to adjust a little bit better being part of this culture and part of this system for a full year now and can really hit the ground running in their second season?
Yeah, and Steven Stamkos said it yesterday in his press conference that he just feels so much more settled. He feels so much more comfortable. And I think there's a lot of anger from those guys to want to come back and be better this year. Stamkos, Shea, Marchessault. That's the highlighting trio, obviously, right, of the guys who came in last year. But it's the whole group, really. It's the guys who came in midway through last season. It's the few new additions this season who are kind of catching the vibe from the rest of the team of how much they want to make up for last season. So I think you can feel it across the board.
Roman Yos, there we go. Do we got it now?
Yeah, we're good now.
Here you go, Connor. Perfect. Connor Newt, go ahead.
Hi, Max. I feel like a sideline reporter right now with a handheld mic.
Now we can't hear you again, too.
Oh, you can't hear me again?
I guess not. That's fine. Well,
I'll ask my question anyway.
Yeah, go ahead.
As far as the young guys out there, you know, we mentioned Tanner Mullendijk, and we were talking about Andrew Gibson during the break, and guys like that. How have the young guys meshed well with the veterans, do you think? The pairings I've seen out there, it's Nick Hague and Roman Josi together, Nick Perbix and Brady Shea together. How does the youth mesh well with the kind of more experience on this roster?
Well, I think it's a conscious effort in camp to give those prospects, whether they're guys who have a chance to play this year or not, a chance to play with the NHLers in drills, in scrimmages. And Barry Trotz said yesterday he wants the vision for a lot of the forward lines by the time the season starts to be two vets and a young guy. And I think that plays well, especially for someone like Svechkov, who I would really like to see play with Stamkos. The times played with Stamkos last year, and the one that really sticks out in my mind was 3-on-3 when he set up the Stamkos hat trick goal in overtime against the Blackhawks. That's the type of guy who can really help someone like Svechkov thrive, grow his point total. And I think Svechkov would be good for Stamkos, too. So I think it goes both ways. And Tanner Mullendijk is working his way back from what seems like a minor injury that he suffered in rookie camp last week. But I wouldn't be surprised if we see Mullendijk play shifts with Josi in preseason games. Things like that to really throw these guys into the fire. Put Brady Martin at center on some shifts with Philip Forsberg, who he lived with for about a week, a couple weeks ago, and had some fun with. So they're mixing up the groups, and those D pairs you said, the two free agent or not free agent additions, Perbix is a free agent, Hague is a trade acquisition. Mm-hmm. It looks like that's going to be the first look at the top two pairs, Hague and Josi on the top pair. And as of now, Hague has been on the left, Josi has been on the right. I think they're going to try both sides of that. And Shea and Perbix, I think, could be a solid second pair. And then the rest of the D-Core is really interesting from there, because I think Justin Barron is a lock to make the team with how he played at the end of last season. But then you've got this whole group of guys who played last year, and it's a deep group. And then you've got Mullendijk, too, competing with someone like Adam Willsby, who I think has been the best player at camp the first 2 days.
Yeah, I heard Brunette say that yesterday, too.
Yeah, he's been amazing today, too. He's moving incredibly well. He's back from injury. You can tell he's 100%. And he looks better than he did at any point last year, and he had moments last year where it was like, oh my God, this guy came out of nowhere. And Nick Blankenberg, who you could say was the Preds' best defenseman last season, which is crazy to say in retrospect, but it's true. Nobody's really thinking about him making it. And then you have Spencer Stastny, who's back at camp this year after missing camp and not joining the team till midway through last year. You got to think he's got a shot. So it's a lot to be decided here, especially at the bottom of the roster with the young guys really getting the green light to make their push and earn something.
As far as goaltending goes, we were just talking about it. UC Saros' contract is now in effect. You're committed to him for the next 8 years. And, of course, Justus Onanen is in goal behind him. What needs to improve for the goaltenders this year to kind of establish some more success early on in the season.
I put very little of last season on them, if anything. And I felt that way pretty much the whole time. I think Saros was left hung out to dry throughout the season. And they've made some defensive system tweaks, they say. We haven't seen those in action yet, so I can't really give you any information about what they are, because we haven't seen them yet. But it's been clear, they want him to see more pucks. And that's why Nick Hague is on the team. You trade someone incredibly valuable in Colton Sissons because you want that big defenseman
Poor
in Nick
Jay
Hague.
Moore.
Who, I know, Jay Moore's favorite player, Colton Sissons, is in Las Vegas now. And we wish him the best of luck. They are a great bread. And he had 1 year left on his contract, and they were able to agree to a sign-and-trade with Hague to give him a big extension. And he's going to be on the top pair, it looks like, and he's going to be defending the net front. So I think that's what has to happen for those guys. And Onanen was on the team for so much of last season, we forget that he wasn't on the team at the beginning of the season.
Yeah.
So this is his first training camp as a Pred after they traded for him on Thanksgiving. And I think he's the perfect backup. Him and UC Saros are really close. They're different enough, too, that it kind of provides some balance in the starter-backup role. And down the stretch last year, since they knew that Saros was going to be going to the World Championships for Finland, and he's played so much the last few years, they played Onanen a lot. And I think if it gets to that point again where there's any thought of fatigue, because Saros will presumably be in the Olympics this year, it's going to be a lot of hockey for him. And hopefully Onanen can be in the Olympics too. I mean, there's certainly a chance he's the two or the three for Finland, but that's your duo, and everybody else on the depth chart is back, too. Both AHL goalies are back. So I think goaltending is the biggest checkmark that you know is going to be what it should be coming in this year, as long as everybody in front of them makes the adjustments they need to.
You mentioned Brady Martin living with Philip Forsberg. And, you know, some of that veteran presence from Philip kind of rubbing off on him. You take a guy fifth overall, there's going to be high expectations for him. I know there's been talk about him possibly making the team out of camp. What do you think a guy that young needs to do to prove that he deserves to be on the team from day one?
I think he needs to do a lot, but I don't think it's impossible, that's for sure. And I think he had moments in the rookie tournament games, which you really just show and go for those. You have one or two practices with the group. You've had development camp a month or so earlier, but you just kind of get there and you just play. And in the first game, Martin was really good, and he contributed offensively. He helped them defend a lead. He was a two-way top-line center. And then Barry Trotz wasn't shy to say that he wasn't perfect in the last two rookie games there. And it was interesting to hear, because they obviously are really, really high on him. So it was good to hear that honesty, that he has a long way to go, but he's out here in the scrimmage right now that I was trying to watch through the window, but sadly couldn't. He's playing with Philip Forsberg on a line right now in scrimmage, so they're going to give him every chance in the world. I think what he does in the games means more, and we got to remember, too, just because he was the fifth overall pick does not mean he has to make the team in any way. This was not a deep draft at the top. There's a chance that only one player from the draft plays on opening night, and that would be Matthew Schaefer from the Islanders, who went first overall. There's a chance it's only him. So we'll see as preseason goes on. But I don't think it's impossible. That's for sure.
Most important question of the day for you, Max. And it's very, very important. What do Predators fans need to do to get a third jersey for this team? A third sweater?
Tweet at you, I guess. I don't know.
Tweet at me? Well, if they tweet at me, I'm going to petition for a Philip Tomasino statue outside of Bridgestone Arena. So,
good luck with that.
Yeah, not sure that one's going to happen. Max, appreciate you taking some time. Looking forward to the season. Can't believe it's only a few weeks away. We got preseason doubleheader on Sunday, right?
Yeah. We'll be on the radio all day Sunday. The first game is at 2 o'clock. The second game is at 6 o'clock, yep. Both at Bridgestone against the Panthers. We will be on the radio from 1:30 till probably about 9-ish.
Yeah,
going at it all day. So we know the Titans are home too, right down the street. So if you're driving around, going to the Titans game, leaving the Titans game, coming into the Preds for one game, coming in and out, we'll be on the radio the entire time, and all six preseason games, plus the Gold Star Showcase in Clarksville, next Thursday, we'll all be on 102.5 The Game.
Love it. Make sure you listen in. Max, appreciate your time, and looking forward to a new season getting started.
Yeah, thanks, guys. Anytime, we'll be back with you.
Max Herz from Preds Radio joining us here on Next Man Up. We'll react to what Max had to say coming up next. No more technical difficulties, hopefully, as well. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. The Commodores return to First Bank Stadium tomorrow to take on Georgia State. Pre-game begins at 5 p.m. on 102.5 The Game with the kickoff at 6:30. Vanderbilt football brought to you by Gary Force Acura, Jimmy Kelly Steakhouse,
and
Smoky Mountain Tops.
I was getting all the tea on which Predators dated which media members in Nashville, and you ruined it.
Chase was telling a story, but, you know, show comes back. We go on air. The show must go on. Jake Lyman, Parker Kelly, Connor Newt with you. Next Man Up, 102.5 The Game. Me and Connor out here at Preds Training Camp. Great to speak with Max Herz for a couple of minutes from Preds Radio. And again, you can listen to Preds Radio for the doubleheader on Sunday to start the preseason. Good stuff from Max there. I think the one big thing that I took from him was about the goaltenders, Connor.
Yeah, that, like, I was surprised about that.
Yeah, Max basically said he's like, the Preds shouldn't have to worry about goaltending this year. And I do understand that like sometimes the defense just makes the goalie look bad, and there are some shots that no goalies are going to stop.
Yeah.
And last year with Roman Josi missing a bunch of time, it makes sense that UC Saros maybe didn't statistically have the year that you would have hoped for him. He says that they've made some defensive system adjustments. They've brought in some new guys, Nick Haig and Nick Perbix. You've also got Tanner Molendijk, who hopefully will be healthy soon. Spencer Stastny, as Max mentioned, is back in camp this year. So you would hope that the defensive issues would start to go away a little bit more, and that hopefully helps out the goalie as well.
Yeah, I don't know if I would 100% agree with his assessment that little to none of it was on the goalies.
Right.
But I see what he's saying. You have to have a competent defense in front of your goalies. It's like baseball, right? A pitcher can be phenomenal in a game, but if a hitter makes contact and the defense doesn't do its job behind the pitcher, then that's a pitcher stat.
Right.
Makes the pitcher look bad. ERAs are a pitcher stat.
Yep. And
so
it doesn't always reflect what the pitcher did, what the goalie did. You know, we're talking about how the Titans have given up 11 sacks. Most of that falls on the offensive line, but there's obviously more around it that you need context to describe some of those stats. So I thought that was interesting from Max talking about how he thinks goaltending not going to be an issue this year for the Preds. And again, when you sign UC Saros to an 8-year extension with that much money, you hope that goaltending is not going to be an issue. And again, the Preds hoping that UC Saros can get back to his elite-level form. We're going to be joined shortly here on the show by Preds winger Michael Bunting. Excited to speak with him after he wrapped up practice. Continuing to talk Preds here. Also talked about Brady Martin a little bit and how it's going to be an uphill battle for him to try and make the team out of camp, expectedly. Like, when you're a rookie and you are you're working your way in as a teenager, like, it's not going to be easy for you to make the team, but I think
it's a possibility.
He did say that it's not impossible to see Brady Martin on the team for opening night.
I would make him earn it because he is a rookie and he has a long way to go before he's a regular on an NHL lineup. But at the same time, kind of like we were saying, Jake, I would be okay with them starting him on opening night here, Bridgestone Arena against the Columbus Blue Jackets. I think it's October 9th is their home opener. It's a Thursday. I would be 100% on board in seeing him in that home opener, because what do you have to lose by not playing him? I mean, if you play him for a select amount of games and then send him right back to juniors, you lose nothing. Financially, you lose nothing. You still have his rights. You don't have to send him to Milwaukee. You lose nothing. So I would be perfectly comfortable with sending him out there for a few games to start the season, just to see how he plays with these veterans and how he plays with the current lineup. Because, to be honest with you, when he finally comes up and he is a regular on this lineup, chances are the lineup today is probably not going to be the same as it is in a couple years. So,
right, right. And
see what the kid has.
You didn't draft Brady Martin for this year. Like, that wasn't, when you picked him fifth overall, it wasn't to plug and play, be in your lineup.
That's the NHL in general.
Right. The NHL is, it's not quite baseball. And honestly, baseball has kind of turned into a little bit more plug and play. You're seeing more and more guys come up in their first year after being drafted. But it's not quite baseball where you got to work your way through three or four levels of minor leagues to finally get up. And sometimes it takes years. Like, Brady Martin's going to be on this team sooner rather than later. But I don't know if it's going to be right off the bat.
Here comes Michael.
I don't think it's going to be immediately. So we'll see what works out with camp. The Preds, again, just starting training camp out here at Fordyce Center Bellevue. And we are pleased to be joined now by Preds winger Michael Bunting after practice. Michael, thanks for taking some time. What's the first couple days been like to be out there on the ice?
It's been good. It's been fun to get back into it. Obviously, the summers are good, but they're long, and they're not really like game. Like, you can practice as hard as you can, but once you get out into training camp, it's totally different with the physicality and just the tempo. So it's good to get real practices underway, and I'm excited to start some games up here.
I'm sure it was a whirlwind for you being traded at the deadline last year and coming in here mid-season. Has it been nice throughout the offseason to kind of settle in and you can prepare a little bit more effectively for this upcoming year?
Yeah. The trade last year definitely came as a shock. I wasn't expecting it at all. I was sitting down for dinner when I got the call and away I was going to Nashville. So, that was definitely shocking. But you know what? Landing in Nashville, I was really excited when I heard it was that. This is where I was coming. I was excited, and obviously, you know, we want to bounce back from last year. I was able to come in for the last month or so last year and, you know, get familiar with everybody, get familiar with the guys, and everyone seems really great. And, you know, we have a close group here, so we're all really excited to, you know, bounce back from the way things went last year.
And kind of building off of that, Michael, you're obviously relatively new to this city, relatively new to this organization. How have the guys in the locker room kind of welcomed you, the veterans around there?
Yeah, they've been great. We have a lot of, you know, vets that have won in this league and know what it takes to win. So that's really cool to, you know, be coming to a team with that kind of caliber. And then especially with a captain like Yost, you know, he is probably the nicest guy I've ever met in my life. So, and he's also an exceptional player. So, yeah, no, they've welcomed me with open arms. And honestly, it's been very easy. The transition has been easy. And it feels like I was there all last year, even though I was only a month. So, it was really easy coming in. This year, obviously, knowing everybody.
Talking to Preds winger Michael Bunting here with us at Preds training camp. Michael, I understand Andrew Brunette has kind of made it known that he wants to make some offensive adjustments for his system. How have you seen those in full force through the first 2 days of practice?
Yeah, he emphasizes that, you know, the puck's our friend, and you want to make smart choices with it and not kind of just be lax with it or make a hope play and stuff like that. We want to have possession most of the game. We want to keep the puck on our sticks and make that strong play. And he's definitely, you know, brought the tempo from the first two days of skates. Yesterday's skate was hard and it was good, but that's what we needed. We need to get ready, and right from day one of training camp, we're all getting prepped and ready to go for this year.
The veterans like you and Stamkos and Forsberg, Marchessault, they're going to get all the headlines. But what have you seen from some of the young guys out there in the first couple days of camp as they've come in here and trying to earn their spot on this team?
Yeah. Obviously, you know, us older guys, you know, we've been in many camps for, I think this is my 12th camp since I was in junior. So, you know, I'm used to them. But, yeah, you just try to give them as much advice as you can going by when you're chatting with them, just kind of tell them just play their game. They're here for a reason and be relaxed. But I think everyone, all the young guys, have done a very good job. They're keeping the pace up. They're flying out there. They're showing their skill off, and seems like everyone's pretty comfortable and confident. And us older guys just try to make it as welcoming as possible.
What have been your focuses this year as you try and improve and play a role in this team?
Yeah, I think I went into the off season knowing that it's a big year, for the team and myself, and we want to bounce back hard. So I went in the off season trying to get stronger, bigger, and I feel like I'm, you know, my area of the game is the hash marks down. So if I can get, you know, a little bit of weight on myself and, you know, make it harder for the D to, you know, push me out of the way of the front of the net or in the corners when I'm grinding away, I feel like I wanted to emphasize that. And I feel like I have done that, and also keep my speed up. I feel like my speed's still there. And even though I put a little bit of weight on, and my speed is still one of my advantages.
You kind of caught a little bit of fire at the end of last season. How are you sustaining that momentum heading into this year?
Yeah, I think when I first got traded here, I was coming off of my appendix surgery, so I wasn't even ready to play when I first got here. So I was coming in, new system, and then obviously being out for 2 weeks and my legs under myself under a new system. It was tough, but you know, I don't want to make that as an excuse. But once I feel like six games under my belt, I started getting more comfortable, getting my game back, and then I started going on a little bit of a run of, you know, helping the team produce offensively. And that's my game. I feel like that's when I'm at my best, is when I'm playing on the edge, playing in the other team's face, and helping the team, you know, score goals or anything like that.
Last one from me for you. I know you just celebrated a birthday. Happy birthday to you, first of all.
Thank you.
What was the celebration like? What'd you guys do?
Honestly, my birthday the last 12 years hasn't been the best, because it always lands on first day of camp.
So. Yeah. So happy birthday to you. Look at that.
So I came in and I did a bike test. So that was happy birthday to me.
There you go.
After that, me and my wife went out for dinner. Just the two of us, early dinner, 5:30. So that was probably the earliest dinner.
I was
exhausted. I wanted to get back to
in bed by eight.
Yeah, exactly. In bed by eight and ready for the next day of skate. So nothing exciting for my birthday, unfortunately.
Joined by Michael Bunting live here from Preds training camp. Last one for you, Michael. Last year, I know you weren't around heading into last year, but there was a lot of excitement about this team with all of the big moves that they made. Do you feel like this year's version of this team has a little bit of a chip on its shoulder, being slept on a little bit and trying to prove some people wrong heading into this year?
Yeah, I think last year, you know, I wasn't here at the start, but just my guess is just more of an adjustment period for guys like Stammer and Marchie that have been in teams almost a long time, a really long time. Stammer was with Tampa his whole career. So that's an adjustment to come over to a new team and get situation with the system. But I feel like they still did a very good job last year. But now going into this year two, chip on their shoulder and wanting to prove some people wrong here. And I think that's all of us. You know, I think we have the talent, we have the experience, and we have, you know, the belief in our group that we can bounce back from last year. I think that was just, you know, just a little bit of a hiccup on the way. So we're all really excited to get this season going.
Michael, really appreciate you taking the time and wish you the best of luck this season.
Yeah, appreciate it. Thanks, guys.
We'll take a quick break. We'll be back. Hour number three coming up. Next man up here on 102.5 The Game.